Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Today's episode is brought to you by Whoop, the personalized digital fitness and health coach. John and Nathan Florence have both been using Whoop for over 3 years now to balance their training both in and out of the water. Now, Whoop is introducing the all-new Whoop 4.0, the latest, most advanced fitness wearable on the market. Monitor your recovery, sleep, training and health with personalized recommendations and coaching feedback with Whoop. Train smarter, recover faster, sleep better, and now feel healthier with Whoop. The all-new 4.0 is smaller, smarter, and designed with new biometric tracking, including skin temperature, blood oxygen, and more. The device also features an all-new smart alarm designed to wake you up feeling refreshed and ready to take on the day. Plus, it will design with anywhere technology, so you can wear it with their Whoop body sensor-enhanced technical garments. The all-new health monitor dashboard gives you a big-picture look at your overall health. Monitor key metrics like heart rate, resting heart rate variability, skin temperature, and blood oxygen levels. Plus, see improvements and irregularities and vital signs over time. You can even export 30-day health trends to share with your coach, trainer, PT, PCP, or physician. The all-new waterproof device is free when you sign up for a Whoop 4.0 membership. For any members, if you have 6 months left of your membership on your account, you can upgrade now and get the 4.0 for free. And right now, Whoop is offering 15% off when you use the code BEACHGRIT at checkout. Go to Whoop, WHOOP.com, and enter BEACHGRIT at checkout to save 15%.
Take your time.
Hello, and welcome to Dirty Water, episode 44. A podcast that aims to deliver frank, intimate, and revealing portraits of international celebrities. I'm Derek Riley. I'm with Charlie Smith, and today's guest recently celebrated her 7th anniversary of pushing the then newly crowned world champ Gabriel Medina into the dirt at Lowers. She is the daughter of a courageous and handsome, yet deeply flawed surf star, once appeared in a high-voltage swimsuit shoot with her mammy, lived in a 5-story house at Del Mar with its own private beach, and travels, not sure yet, in limousines and private jets. She is someone whom you'd agree to have dinner with even if you weren't hungry, and whose angelic face is framed with silky yellow curls caught in a spot of moon glow. Lately, she was the star of ABC's The Ultimate Surfer, making it to the final three surfers. She was described by Beach Grit's TV critic Jen C as savage. Today's guest, Malia Ward.
Hey, hello, you hello. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
What an intro.
Yeah, thanks. So 7 years since giving Medina his comeuppance. Want to talk us through that little thing again for posterity?
Sure, yeah, let's start with that. Why not? I believe I was 16 at the time, and everyone was kind of practicing for the CT event there. And Medina was out there, Laura Enover, everyone was out. And I was splitting a wave with, I think it was Michael Ho. He was going left, I was going right. It was already like established. And then Medina just kind of came in hot, like trying to take off on the other, on the wrong side of the peak, and just tried to like swoop everyone. And like, by the time I saw him, I was already standing up. And so I didn't want him to hit me. So I just put my hands out and like gave him a little nudge. It was, more of like a reaction than like, I'm mad, I'm going to push you. But it just ended up looking really funny. And yeah, it was, he didn't end up saying anything after. He kind of just like smiled at me. So I think we're good. Yeah.
Have you talked to Gabe since then?
Yeah, I did actually. I saw him at T Street right before I posted it for the anniversary. I was like, I asked him. I told him, I was like, you remember me pushing you off a wave at Lowers? It's a 7th anniversary. I actually asked him, and he was like, ah, ha ha ha, yeah. He just kind of like laughed it off. I think he's kind of embarrassed about it because someone like got it taken down off the internet, I think, and it might have been him or his publicist because it's like kind of embarrassing.
Oh, it's time to put it back up, Derek.
Yeah, I can't believe anyone would have it pulled down. That's a very minor.
Yeah, yeah. It was like this guy. He's a legend. His name's Norwell. I haven't been able to find him. He has like the original video. He's the one that made it, and he posted on Vimeo. And then his Vimeo account just kind of disappeared, and then along with the video. So
I remember
Norwell. But it's on my YouTube. If anyone hasn't seen it yet.
Okay. Yeah, I know Norwell. We can kick straight to Malia's YouTube.
Do you have a YouTube, Malia?
Yeah, I have a YouTube, and I'm starting to post a lot more too. Actually, after this, I'm gonna start filming my YouTube intro. I'm like who I am, and I have so much footage of just like life and surfing and traveling that I want to share and put out there, and I can do it in my own way on YouTube.
Sometimes. How much Ultimate Surfer stuff can you use on your own YouTube channel?
I'm not really sure on that. The lines are kind of blurred. I'd have to look in the contract, but I think I can repost snippets. I think Ultimate Surfer can use all the help they can get with, you know, media content views. So,
did your experience on Ultimate Surfer, was it a net positive, a neutral, what is your coming away now that it's in the rear view, was it an epic time? Was it, yeah. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts. I would say being on the Ultimate Surfer, definitely a net positive for me. I think it was really fun to showcase myself and my surfing on an outlet other than just social media, and being a part of something where like they're creating surfing for the mainstream audience. It was really cool to be a part of that. And being on TV, surfing's like never on TV. I mean, I've seen Blue Crush and all those, like my Surf's App, all my favorite movies. So it's cool to be like on something new and different. It was definitely work, you know, waking up and constantly being on camera and mic'd up every second of the day. It was pretty wild. It's like, it's kind of like crypto. People think like, oh, it's like negative, or like some people love it, some people hate it. It goes up and down. That was kind of like the show for me, but overall it's going up, especially right now. That's why I'm in such a good mood.
Why is it going up right now?
What's happening?
Yeah, it's happening. It's just like a wave. It's like swell. It's like, why are the waves, the wind, the storm? Crypto is wild. It's definitely going to go to the moon. It goes up and down, but it'll go to the moon.
Oh, you're talking crypto eventually. Going up. Wait, what? Cryptos are you in?
Well, I got into Ethereum like 4 or 5 years ago, pretty early, before everyone even knew about it. So I'm pretty stoked. It was like $30. So Ethereum's like the main thing I usually hold, and Bitcoin, and a little bit of, I had some sushi before. I was farming some sushi and Alchemix.
Are you Ethereum because of its NFT attachment to NFT, or what turned you to Ethereum?
Well, turning to Ethereum, well, it's pretty solid. It's just as solid as Bitcoin, maybe more. I mean, you can, with Ethereum, you can trade with so many different cryptocurrencies. Ethereum has like, it's called Uniswap. And on Uniswap, you can use your Ethereum to trade all these different coins and projects. And NFTs as well. It's like really helpful for that too.
Have you done an NFT? Is there a Malia Ward NFT?
No, yeah, it's in the works. I have an OpenSea account, so I'm gonna start posting. I have like I do a lot of art and photography, and I love to make videos. So I definitely want to create some cool NFTs, like me getting barreled, but it's like flower petals.
Oh, nice! Moving. I'd buy that.
That would be kind of cool. Yeah, and I also do piano and produce music, so I can put my own sounds to it too.
Which is, Ethereum is the best for NFTs, right? I mean, that is the standard for buying and selling NFTs. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say it's like the main one people use, the main platform.
So you bought Ethereum at $30, did you?
Yeah, it was like 36 technically.
So it's $5,000 now. Are you how many did you buy?
At the time I only put like $3,000 into it. So I can't do the math right now, but I put $3,000 in and it's like, it's up. I'm doing well. I'm doing great. I'm stoked. I didn't have to win 100K in the Ultimate Surfer. You know, I can make it on my own.
Jesus.
How deep do you follow Kelly Slater's journey into the cryptocurrency world? Or are you just, Kelly, you're old, just doing Bitcoin?
We actually have a similar informant of crypto, except I listen to him more than Kelly does. he's like a crypto savant. He's just like knows everyone in the crypto world and is just like always up to date with like what projects are good, what are bad, what NFTs are good, which ones are crap, you know. And he's actually launching a really cool surf community based NFT. It's called Surf Punks. It's like crypto punks, but surf punks. When I have to,
are there going to be little characters?
Yeah, little characters. There's one that looks like me too.
Is it Malia Ward character?
I don't think they're going to use names, but they're just going to make them similar to the surfers that exist.
Derek, have you followed CryptoPunks at all?
It's funny because I was wrestling the other day in the park, and they're talking about that. I was just looking through the little WhatsApp for the wrestling men, and that's about Cilantro. Is it Cilantro? Have you heard of that?
Cilantro. I know that.
Is it a Bitcoin? It's Sol. It's SOL.
Solana.
Solana. Is it Solana?
Oh yeah, people are raving about Solana. I should have bought it like a while ago. I'm kind of kicking myself I didn't.
Should listen to the wrestling man. There's another one. More. What's the other one? Can't remember, but it was really related. It's good. You got to buy whatever Solana. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Solana is a good project.
Did you fall down the Doge hole, Malia?
No, I didn't. I didn't mess with the Doge. That's
you
all
stayed
hype.
Away from the Doge.
Yeah, it's like a fluffy cloud. I don't trust it.
Wow. So you're serious? You're not going in here on wacko stuff. You're like an informed crypto investor.
Yeah, I'm informed. I'm pretty conservative. I take my time, and when I make a move. It's like lately, like the moves I've been making have, you know, only increased my whatever. So I'm stoked.
What do you think? What do you think Ethereum is going to hit if it's $5,000 now?
I mean, Ethereum's at, it's not at 5,000, is it?
It's 5,000 Australian probably. Derek lives in Australian land.
It's like a peso.
Yeah.
So I think Ethereum's going to go to like 5K probably. We're thinking December it's going to just go crazy, and that's when we want to sell. I want to sell probably like December.
So your advice to the surf punter right now: buy Ethereum, buy now, sell December.
Buy shit
even though it's
now.
Up, even though it's pretty high right now. Like it just tanked to like $1,800, right?
Yeah, it totally tanked.
Recently.
And I think, I mean, I'm not a total expert, but I definitely have good instincts and intuition on that stuff. And I think I have a hunch, buy as much stuff as you can. Good projects. Ethereum's one of them. I just bought this one called Woo today too. We'll see how it does. And then, sell December, hopefully, everything.
Wow. What's Woo?
Woo, it's, I don't even know. It's my advisor told me to buy it. I don't even read it. I just trust him. So I was just like, bought it. I just put like 5K and we'll see.
Good damn. Hey, so with the Ultimate Surfer, you signed a non-disclosure agreement not to reveal the winners before or anything. But now that it's all over, you can tell us everything that happened, huh?
Yeah.
So were you really a savage?
What do you think?
I don't know. But Brianna said she felt like she was in a UFC fight.
I remember she was saying that. Almost. I mean, I felt like that challenge was just crazy. It was wild. The one where we had, it was like a relay race, not a relay race, but it was like a race. We had to put wetsuits on. And so the start of that, I felt like I was on the very outside track and I wanted to gain the inside track, whatever it took. So as we were all running, I was like, I'm just going to cut them off. And if they hit me, like, or if we crash, whatever, like, I just want to be in the front. I want to make it. And then we ended up kind of colliding. Her board kind of went towards mine. And I went towards hers. Tia was like left in the dust behind us. And then it was just the paddle battle actually was not the paddle battle, but while we were paddling around this corner, it was like elbow jab. Like I felt I got elbowed. She got elbowed. I think, you know, never complain, never explain. I think she was just whining about it. But I thought it was pretty funny.
Did you guys have history, you and Brianna and Tia, beforehand? Because it seemed like you guys.
Oh, yeah, this is what a lot of people have been asking me about and very curious. They're like, this is like the one kind of frustrating thing about the show is that they established the beef, that there's like drama, but they didn't show the backstory or like explain why or like what's going on. And I guess I'll share a little bit. I don't want to talk too much about it, but yeah, let's say, so Brianna and I never had beef ever. Like we were chill, really cool. I'd see her on surf trips. We'd like say hi, like nice to each other. Tia and I were the ones, we're the ones that had the beef. But I feel like Brianna was her best friend, so she wanted to like start trouble or establish that there was like something. So I think Brianna was definitely like her pet bitch in the show, to like, so that Tia didn't have to be like the mean one or like, anyways, yeah. But Tia and I we had like childhood beef in the past that just never was resolved or talked about. And like, I'd still love to chat with her about it because I want to get along. I want to be friends. I think life's too short to have like beef or nemesis or things like that going on.
Oh, but that's what story is, right? Like if everyone's friends, then there's no good guy, bad guy. There's no fun story arc. You got to keep your beefs beef.
This is true. As long as it's like a healthy beef.
Sure. If you're having fun with it, though, it's healthy, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, my dad and Andy, they would have beef traveling together all the time. Like, or Andy would like take my dad's board and like break it, or like, but they would, theirs is like, oh, sorry, I did that. And then like, let's be friends and have a good time. You know, girls, it's like, it kind of lasts longer and it kind of sucks.
Girl beef, worse than Andy, your dad beef is pretty harsh.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it all started like T and I were friends. We were friends like, I don't know, 14. She just moved to San Clemente. I was like, oh, like a new girl. We can surf together and be friends and like go to contests. And that's what we did. Like we were going to go to a contest together and carpool. I was going to go with her family. And then like the last minute, they're like, oh, there's no room for you. I was like, oh, okay. Like, but it was the morning of and I had to like find my own ride back. It was just like weird stuff like that. And then one time there was this magazine article that came out and on the cover was all the local girls of San Clemente up and coming. And I didn't even hear about it or know about it. And I'm like as local as it gets when it comes to SC. And then I found out it was Tia and her mom who were in charge of picking like the girls for it. And it was like 15 girls, like random girls from Huntington, Oceanside. Like they tried to find like everyone they could that wasn't me. And so I felt like really excluded, like so young, and it bummed me out. And I was like, I never understood why.
Beef is fun. Learn to love beef.
I got one more too. There's the surf coach, Mike Lamb. He was like training all these girls that were killing it in contests. And I was like, I want to work with him. And he would also work with Tia. And I called him like anonymously and gave him my story. And he was like, yeah, let's train. Let's do it. What's your name? And then I gave him my name and he was like, oh, that might be an issue. Like he already knew about like something going, like some, he already knew about the beef with me and her before. And then I wasn't able to work with him for a year. They like wouldn't let him work with me, even though he's working with other girls. So
this is the beef that guy side is missing.
That the what?
That the men's side is missing. There's no good beef anymore. And on the men's side of surf, like the girls slot is the future of fun stuff, I think, of fun content. Derek?
I agree. And that was the thing in the Ultimate Surfer. The women were vastly more entertaining than the men. Who were all very friendly.
Oh, all the men were all just like Coa Smith, buddies with everybody, right? Who wants buddies? I don't want buddies.
Who needs
to? It's not as fun. It's like kind of boring without the drama.
No, that's what boxing has gotten so right, and UFC and everything else, right? Like, even if you don't actually feel it, it's beef makes the world go round, even if you're a vegetarian.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the show Backyard Beefs, Malia?
No, I haven't.
It's so good. It's like a really lo-fi UFC, and they just go into and they're in Virginia and all these wild places, and they have this octagon and this muddy little backyard. And it's called Satan's Backyard. And people just go in and have beefs and they have fights. It's pretty
good. Fight Club.
Like Fight Club, yeah. It's really good, really entertaining. Wow, so maybe you and T can jump in the Satan's Backyard for street beefs.
I'd be down.
Oh, get some Anastasia Ashley there as your corner woman. Just
She'll be like rubbing my shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
So, with the show, was it a wild bacchanal? Was it drinking and carousing and hookups and all that sort of shit?
What? Say that again. Sorry.
No. So you know, beyond the usual editing of the show, what was it like behind the scenes? Was it a wild party? Drinking. And
we definitely had a wild party after the show. I wish they filmed it. It was really fun. I ended up DJing too, and like we were with all the producers. Elo was getting down. It was so fun. Everyone was just celebrating the end of this long 22 days. Sorry if there's a delay.
No.
Dude, do you have any video footage of Elo getting down?
Oh, I wish. We still didn't have our phones back yet at that time.
How does Elo dance? If you have to give
Elo dance?
Describe Elo's dancing, yeah, his dancing thing.
Well, he usually wears like a pretty snazzy blazer wherever he is, and he just kind of moves his like shoulders kind of, and he can kind of get low, and it's all about his smile too. Like, he dances like with a really big smile. So
it's got a megawatt smile, that Elo.
Is he a frisky dancer? Is he a frisky dancer? Does he like to twerk a little bit?
I've seen him twerk, yeah. Oh, really? It was actually at the premiere. The premiere, I think I saw him twerking. He was really, he was on a good one.
He's working that thing.
Yeah.
Look at that pretty little white ass. He's hot for a white man.
You know what the show didn't... They didn't capture, or they did capture, but they didn't end up using it. After the paddle battle, I thought this drama was kind of funny. After the paddle challenge where Zeke's kind of paddling and my butt's in his face and we're just like making all these crazy noises, like sound like birds descending. We ended up winning. And then at the end, I like overexerted. I felt so overexhausted. I ended up throwing up, but I almost threw up like in front of everyone. And I just ran to my trailer and like, it was pretty traumatic and hilarious.
Wow.
They were like chasing me. They were chasing me with the cameras. And like, I asked the producers and I was like, could you guys hear me? Cause I was mic'd up and they could just hear me like throwing up.
Jeez. That would have been amazing.
Hard yards.
And there was this other one where we were asked to like, can you guys commentate a wave? And we were like, okay. And Koa did his like, wabah, wabash. That, you know, that's great. But I think mine was pretty funny too. They didn't end up using it, but I was, my favorite thing to do in my head when I'm watching someone surf is to commentate them as a cat. I go, if someone's going down the line and it's like, meow, meow, and they go do a big snap, meow. And then when you're in the barrel, it's like,
oh,
like purring because you're all relaxed. And then if someone's like paddling on the wave, you go, yeah.
You should commentate WSL. That sounds way better than anything I've heard in the last 3 years.
Yeah, they need someone like me. I was just talking to the boys in the booth, and they seemed keen on me joining them. So definitely gonna have a meeting soon.
Did you feel that Zeke was always going to win? I mean, we had intel that Zeke won it from the start, but is that why you sort of tried to pair up with him?
Honestly, I didn't even think that all the way through. Like, when I ended up being paired with him, I was like, whoa, like this is sick. But I definitely thought he was going to win for the guys for sure. It was going to be between him and Koa. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's a strong, like the strongest guy there. And I was with the weakest one in the beginning. And I was like, how am I going to get through this?
Who's the weakest man?
It was Austin.
Oh, but he was your, wasn't he like your little semi-boyfriend for a little bit?
Yeah, we had like a he's an old flame. We had like a little fling that was like, we just, yeah. We liked each other for like a week and then he ghosted me.
Austin, blowing it.
We all get ghosted sometimes. It's okay.
What did his ghosting involve? I guess nothing, but he didn't reply to text.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like no reply.
Did you see any things where you feel that he was typing or just never, just nothing, just total blank?
Total blank. Sent us text message. He probably got blocked too. Just kidding. Probably not.
Oh yeah. Sorry, Austin. Stinking nothing.
Austin's really cool. He's nice. He's sweet and he's really funny. Actually, I wish he stayed on the show more because he has really good energy.
When Anastasia went off the first time, I thought, oh man. Sorry, I'm in a real industrial zone here.
Playground with the swings got a creaking.
Oh man!
Don't be sorry for me. Be sorry for our listeners.
Oh, that's okay. Okay, listeners, you're in industrial San Diego right now. But also, when Stasia went off the first time, were you like, are you kidding me? You're cutting the best people on the show in terms of people who know how to create a dynamic and all this stuff? Or are you so in the show that you're not thinking in terms of production? You're just thinking, okay, I'm getting through this thing.
Well, I was pretty bummed that Stasia left so early, and I was like, oh, like, damn, I feel like they left it up to us mostly, like the people competing to make the decisions. And that's what like created the strategy and the drama and like T and Brianna wanting to take Stasia away. And, you know, I guess it was a good move because Stasia knew she would be coming back. I wish she came all the way back, but.
Wasn't to be.
Wasn't meant to be.
Nah. So growing up with Chris Ward as your baby daddy. What was that like? Because in the 90s when you were born, when were you born, 99 or 93 or something? 98?
Sorry. 97.
97. And so he would have been on the tour, doing surf trips and stuff. So what was that like?
Yeah, my dad was surfing in like kind of Ghana a lot. And at the time, I didn't really like surf or understand the whole surf world yet. And my mom kind of raised me most of the time while he was out traveling. And I'd see my dad like a couple times a month or like every Tuesday whenever he was home and every other weekend. So it was kind of cool. Like my parents always shared me because they broke up when I was a baby. And so I'd always be like back and forth. And it's cool like having really young parents because I feel like we get to grow up together. Like we're almost siblings too in a way. It's a different relationship. And yeah, we're only like a couple years off of being in the same generation, which is kind of cool. And whenever I'd see my dad, we'd always go do like fun things. I think we'd go to Dave and Buster's and like Knott's Berry Farm. He's kind of like a Disneyland dad, I guess you could say. But he's also like very supportive in anything I did. He tried to get me to fall in love with surfing too. And we would go to Sano and tandem surf like every year for my birthday. And it's such a good vibe down there. You guys been to San Onofre?
Oh, yeah. Derek, have you ever done Sano?
No, I've admired the nuclear reactors, but I haven't actually been out there. No.
It's so cool seeing the big boobs in the background when you're on a wave.
did your dad teach? I mean, he obviously taught you how to surf, yeah?
Yeah, well, he had me on a surfboard pretty young, whether I liked it or not. You know, see, I liked it for the most part. And then, but when he would take me out, I'd be like, okay, I was kind of scared of the waves. I was like, okay, like I'm chill. I'm happy right here. And he would like slowly creepily like move us out the back. And I knew what he was doing too. Like, this is like where the trust, where my dad and surfing with my dad starts. That's also like where my trust starts with him too. And he broke that trust because we ate shit on a huge wave at Sano. To me, it was huge. And like, I never wanted to surf with him again after that. I was like, I'm done. And then I ended up falling in love with surfing like years later, just surfing with my friends. One summer I fell in love. I got the surf bug immediately. And I was like, I get it now. Like, I totally understand why you love to do this every day, why you made a career out of it. And yeah, just good for the soul.
So how old were you when you got into it?
I was about 11, so not too young, not too late. like 11, I started surfing on like a board on my own, my little pink soft top Doyle. And I started riding a wave and I was like, wow, like I can actually go down the line and like think of a new goal to reach and then reach it while on a wave. I'm like, what more? What more can I do?
So were you living in San Clemente at the time?
Yeah, San Clemente.
Yeah. So your mom had a joint in San Clemente and your dad had a joint in San Clemente?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like in the same town with both my parents growing up. It was pretty cool. And then my mom met this guy who ended up, her fiance, they dated for like 5 years. That's how we ended up living in this super nice house in Corona del Mar with like an elevator. And so like the cool thing with my parents is like my mom, she's like bougie like that. She likes nice things, you know, she's more materialistic, and which isn't, you know, it's not, yeah, to each their own, you know? So it was cool. Like my dad, we'd be like traveling to Bali, showering out of wells and sleeping in huts. And then with my mom, we're going to the Four Seasons, you know, staying in nice places, getting massages. So it's a cool mixture. It's like I get the best of both worlds. I get the grungy surf camp, Wardo surf camp, and then, you know, mom.
So it had a private beach, didn't it? The joint at Del Mar?
Yeah, I had a private beach. And you can actually surf when the tide isn't too low, you can actually surf it, and it's a really fun little left.
Wow. And is it true that you travel in limousines and on private jets?
Yeah, I've been flying private jets like all my life. I've been pretty lucky, pretty cool. Holy fuck. Whether it's like my mom's dudes or my friends, like it's a good time.
Jesus Christ. Is your mom still with the rich man?
Actually, no. She's just recently single, so.
Ooh. Did she retain any of the cash?
Yeah, she just broke up with her boyfriend, so hopefully, you know, we'll get through this together. I'm here for her. You know, it's hard for her, like, because my mom was adopted, so when she ever goes through heartbreak or feels like she lost someone, it's like multiplied because of her, you know, abandonment issues.
Well, but you're with your mom most of the time, yeah?
Yeah, most of the time. We're really close.
I liked your the photo shoot that you did with Stab with Copper Snake.
Oh my gosh, that photo shoot went like a total different direction than I thought it was. They're like, we're gonna edit these photos and you're gonna look amazing. It's gonna be great, and they just did it all raw, just raw photos, which is cool. But yeah, the story was just totally. It was cool. I'll say it's cool, but I feel like they could have done a little better or made it like just something more of substance other than big house, mom, sex appeal, you know, that kind of thing.
And mom in the shadowy corridor just leading up the stairs in her bikini. That was a good shot.
Yeah, yeah. We have so many bikinis, so it's fun to like take cute pictures in them for sure.
And Copper Snake too. Copper Snake's a good guy, huh? I like Copper Snake.
Yeah, Copper Snake, he's dope. I haven't seen him in a minute.
I haven't seen him for years. And then he disappeared.
Luke Davis and Copper Snake had a whole like workout thing going on for a minute. Remember that?
I don't remember. Do you remember, Malia? Luke Davis and Copper Snake?
They had I'm not sure. I think I was living under a rock at that moment.
It was, they had like a LA workout club or something where, yeah, they would like run Runyon Canyon or whatever in LA and do photo shoots. Old Louis Chip and Mark the Cobra Snake just getting it.
That's amazing.
Oh.
Hey, so Malia, did you feel pressured to be to shred like your dad?
Oh yeah, I felt the pressure. I felt the pressure of when the first time he ever took me out at Santa, I was like, oh, he surfs good, like I got to do this too, kind of thing. I mean, I have a good person in front of me to watch and to learn from for sure. And even my first contest, I think it surf contest was like a WSA or middle school surf contest, you know, in like the middle, my middle school had a surf team and we'd all compete against each other. And like, I'd get last place first heat every time. I'm like, it's like so frustrating. I was like, I'll get this one day. Like, I didn't even care if I lost. I just had fun like competing. I was like, this is what my dad does for a living. Like, this is cool. I get to like compete in my own and do my own thing, even if I suck or don't win.
Do you feel like the Medina thing kind of put you on the map and then people she's definitely a ward? Because you kind of look closer to that as well.
Yeah, I put a lot of time and work in surfing lowers every day, you know, creating my own little seat out there with the locals. And I felt like that's definitely where I try to prove myself as a surfer. And I feel like a lot of other people do too. I mean, going there, that's like the major, you know, surfing staple of California is going to lowers and getting the best wave out there and just throwing down turns and maybe some Brazilians too. Just kidding.
Oh yeah. Throwing down turns in Brazilians.
Malia, were you there? Were you there when Felipe got hassled?
When he got what?
When he got hassled? Chaz knows the story, but
what? He got hassled at lowers?
Yeah, he got hassled. What happened, Chaz?
Felipe got pitched off a wave or some hot up and up and coming Grom grabbed his wetsuit and sent him to the beach and sent him home. Hot young local.
I wonder who it was. There goes me living under a rock again.
Yeah, I don't even know. To this day, I kind of actually do know. But really also, do I know?
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
Name the name. What's the name?
I can't. The kid's worried about his career.
You might get the Brazilians.
Yeah.
Well, from you.
I'll never burn anyone.
Chaz has never burned anyone in his life. That's his thing.
Wow, yep. that's a true statement. You've never burned anyone, not on accident.
Never.
No.
Softballs, everything.
What if someone burns you like really good? Are you gonna try to burn them back?
Nope. I am journalistically pure.
Wow.
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I can't say that. So.
Hey, out at lowers, where do you sit in the lineup? Is in the hierarchy, if a set comes through, are you going to be one of the first people on it?
I'm usually sitting out the back, just waiting and like making friends with the guys that like to go left. And I'll just sit next to them and be like, hey, like, and I kind of like, I'm very talkative in the water. I think the key to getting good waves at lowers is communication. And I study that in school as my major. So I'm pretty good at it, I'd say. And at lowers, it's extra special because people just get confused. Everyone just wants to catch a wave. Like no one knows who's going where, left, right, other than my dad. He's always going right usually. And talking to the right people that like to go left is perfect. Or just asking people, it's like, you going left? You going right? And then some guys are so into it, they just don't say anything. And they're just like a robot. Like, But yeah, I'm out the back. I'm on like the first or second set. I actually get more waves at lowers when my dad isn't there. Because we kind of have the same good energy that flows our way, where waves will come to us. And if he's there, he'll just take it.
But if he goes right, you guys can split it. You can get the inferior.
Yeah, we can split it. I like it. Exactly. I like to go left too. So I don't mind. He can have his wave, you know.
He's the king. You graduated from SC, right?
Yeah. My diploma is right over there.
Are you fighting on all the time? Are you a proud USC graduate?
Yeah, I'm pretty proud. I'm stoked. It was a really cool experience going to college because I did online homeschool all of high school and kind of I didn't miss out on the like talking to the kids and all that. What do you call it? Society norm of like
being socialization. What they call it these days.
Yeah, that's it. I wanted to travel and like do my own thing and socialize all around the world and surf instead of like socialize at like in a school cubicle desk type situation. But being back at a college where it's like, you know, huge lecture halls and just like homework, it was wild. It was cool. And there were some fun parties at USC and I made a lot of good friends.
Did you live on campus?
I lived like a mile off campus. I'd skate to class like every day. And there's some really cool teachers there. I actually spoke in one class. I was like this surf figure to kind of explain the sport and just talk about it.
Nice.
So what's your degree in, Malia?
Communication.
Oh,
we're doing right now, Derek.
Well, I don't have a degree. I've got about four incomplete degrees. But what is it? What does it involve?
Communication, it involves, it's a combination of human nature, like just learning about humans and how we actually communicate, and the socialization, cultural factors, technology communication. Like, it's literally communication in every aspect you could think of, psychological, all of it, business, everything.
Whoa. So what are you going to use your degree for?
My favorite class, my degree. Well, I think I'm going to use my degree just to live life. I feel like it helps a lot too, like just in my relationships with people in my life too, like how to, you know, manage emotions and just how to communicate with people. That's like my number one, that's where all my flaws come out. And I feel like my strengths as well is just talking to people and connecting with them and figuring myself out too in the process. So it's pretty cool. I just want to be happy and make other people happy. And I'll try to use whatever I learned in school for that.
Chaz has got a degree in linguistics. What does that give you, Chaz?
It gives me nothing. It gives me a lot less than how many languages? I mean, how many languages do I speak? Oh, nothing. But I did have a fairly good grasp on both Arabic and Russian at some point, but it's all dissipated. It's nothing. But college is fun, yeah?
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun.
Did you have your limousine taking you to school every day?
No, not really. It was kind of wild too going into it. Financial aid came in hot, and I ended up not having to pay much for school either, which was really cool.
Why?
Because originally the reason why
you got good tests and stuff.
Sorry,
you're
go ahead.
You're a full on smart one. You've got your test scores and all of it dialed. You banged out the SAT.
I got that magna cum laude.
Oh. So wait, though. Okay, so obviously you're applying in the crypto world, but you don't think, okay, I'm going to go take this USC Alumni Association thing and start an epic business, or like, what's your arc now? It's not surfing the world.
It's all in the works.
Okay.
I mean, that's always there. Surfing's always there, but my arc, I have so many arcs, actually. It's really hard. Right now I'm writing. I like to write as well, Chaz.
Ooh.
And so I'm writing a book. I don't want to say too much about it yet until it's done, but I'm writing and I'm doing the illustration for it too. It's going to be a children's book.
Perfect.
And it has to do with my life. Not me specifically. It's going to be like a character, but it's going to stem from my life and things that I've learned and just all these adventures I've been on. I'm really excited. That's at the top of my arcs. And then also DJing. I love music and just creating fun experiences for people. So I want to create a brand where I can have art, music, surfing, and just good people to have a good time. So whatever that looks like, I don't know. I might just start a surf team, a Malia surf team, and be like, all right, let's meet at T Street at 9 p.m. On Tuesdays. And then whoever wants to be there, you can just be there for the vibes.
Do you have an agent helping you along?
And you get a free NFT out of it.
I mean, are you kidding? You got Ethereum all ready to go.
Yeah, I could use some help, actually. I have like agents for modeling and acting, but for like all these other ideas and things that I have, it's been mostly me.
So there's no agency help alongside. It's just you figuring it out.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty much.
Just impressive.
Thanks.
Hey Malia, Anastasia said to ask you about big waves and barrels. You like big waves and getting barreled?
Yeah, that's like probably my arc in surfing. It's not just like competitions. Like, competitions are great, but that's not what surfing is fully about. It's about, you know, enjoying your favorite part about surfing. And my favorite part about surfing is getting barreled and just having the thrill of being on like a big, crazy wave. So that's my goal with surfing. Like, every surf trip I go on, like, I just want to get barreled and, you know, land in air reverse. That's definitely one of them too.
Where would
are you?
Yeah, Chaz, yeah.
Are you impressed with the young crop of girls coming up, the Sky Browns and Aaron Brookses and the rest of them?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And that Betty Lou too. She can get barreled. She's killing it. I am impressed and definitely, I feel a little intimidated too. I'm like, damn, I got to step it up. Like these girls are getting barreled and just killing it. I was like, I want to do that too. And yeah, no, like these young girls coming up and coming, they inspire me and they make me want to become a better surfer, barrel rider and all of it. And I'm so happy to see it too, that there's like other girls similar to me that enjoy the same things and they can do it. Cause that's the biggest problem I think with girls. It's like, they're trying to figure out how to get barreled, how to like, you know, surf real waves, barreling waves. So to see that on the rise is great.
Tell me about the time you flew to Hawaii to caddy for your dad at the Pipe Masters. It was like a 10-footer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was fun. My mom, I was like, Mom, should I go to Hawaii? I got school and like, I have school next week. She's like, just go. It'll be fun. I was like, okay. And yeah, it was huge. I was not expecting it to be that big. And my dad's like, I need a caddy. Are you coming? And I was like, my heart's just like pounding the whole time. Like my heart rate was up so high. I was like, fuck it. Let's go. Let's do it. But he didn't tell me that I needed an extra board and fins. So I just paddled out on like one board. So if he broke that other board, I would have had to swim in, which probably wouldn't have even happened. I probably would have had to get like rescued by the jet ski. So I'm just really, really thankful that he didn't end up needing that extra board. Because when I paddled out there, like all the boys were just like looking at me. I'm just like in my bikini. I was like, hey, what's up? And they're just everywhere. I felt like I was just in like the craziest sandbox of just male dominance in these big waves. And I'm just like this, I'm like 15 in my bikini, like catting for my dad. I'm like, I'm here. Go, Dad. And they were like, where's your fins? Where's your other board? You're a hazard out here. And I was like, I'm just here for my dad. What's up? Sonny was cool though. He was like, hey, Leah. He was like, nah, she's good. She can handle it. Sonny believed in me.
Did it feel like a real blue crush moment? What's this surfing the sandbar horse shit?
Totally. Definitely a blue crush moment. I was facing my fears out there. And like the second time when I paddled out for his next heat, I'm like his good luck charm, you know, he ended up making it through. So. And in the next heat, he ended up trading the board and I had two boards, but then I had to duck dive this. It was just maxing out sunset and like it was just closed out. The entire bay just like closed out. And I was like, this is it. This is the wave. I got to duck dive. And the guys on the ski with the camera were right next to me trying to film me getting worked. And I ended up duck diving another board like attached to my leg. And it was fine though. I ended up making it through, even though I was terrified. Would I do it again? I'd be hesitant, but I would do it.
So what do you think you got from your dad, you know, personality wise and surfing wise?
I actually can't. I've been trying to decide, but I don't know where I got my fire from or like the sassiness, because both my parents be crazy. They're both like, in a good way, you know, they're a good crazy. But my mom has a fire to her and my dad as well. That's probably why they ended up having me. There's got to be some miracle in how they got along. But I think, yeah, I think my dad, he has a really good heart and he's just like, he's on the inside, he's golden, you know, when you take away all the pain and the chaos that's like around him or in his head, like he's just like a really good human. Like he's nice to everyone and he has the best intentions. But the demons try to get in the way. But as long as like he's aware of it, then he's like, he's chilling. But I think I definitely got his good heart, where he's taught me just like be nice to everyone, even like the haters, even people that suck, like Brianna and Tia, just like be nice to them, because like, why not?
What balls on their heads. Good advice.
Yeah, it's just like kill them with kindness. And my mom says the same thing, kill people with kindness too. And like the thing I learned from my dad too is like I learned about my anger. Like I would get angry when someone burned me or cut me off on the freeway. And that's something like when I'm around my dad, I see it too. I'm like, I don't want to be like that, you know, because it's not worth it at the end of the day. If someone cuts me off, I'm just gonna like, I kind of find my own way to like laugh things off. Or if someone burns me at lowers on a wave, I'm just like, if it's a kid, I'm not gonna like yell at them. I'm just gonna be like, hey, sick one. Stoke we got to share it. Yeah. you know, or something like that. Or some people will take surfing too seriously, and I used to as well, and it just caused me more pain and more like upset, if anything. So I just learned to take it things a lot less serious when they're not in my control.
The road rage thing is funny because at the time someone can do something and it feels like the gravest offense that's ever been committed against you in your whole life. And it feels like that person, seriously in your head, you think that person should be shot right now. I'm going to find that person, yeah. I'll drag him out of the car and kill him. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, that happened to me the other day. I was just cruising down the road, down the hill, and this car just whipped out, like trying to turn. And I almost T-boned them. Like the last minute I like slammed on my brakes and it was their fault because they just like didn't see me and they just went. And I almost hit them. And I was like, so much anger just boiled up all at once because it was also just like very shocking to almost be in a car accident. But like I avoided it. So I felt like, I was like, what an idiot. That person's such an idiot. And then it's like, I don't know. Usually the things that I blurt out and that when I'm angry or upset, it's usually like I'll say it to someone else like, oh, you're being that way, you're being this way. But really it's like it's kind of going towards me too. Like I'm saying that about myself, but I don't realize it.
Do you have little triggers like and your dad too, where they just set you off? If someone knows you really well, they said, don't do that around Malaysia, you lose your shit. What are the triggers for your volatility?
Oh, what are my no-nos? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. What's going to set you off? What's going to make you lose your shit?
Oh, I was not ready for this question, but let me think. There's like random things, like little sound, like I don't like small talk, but it doesn't set me off. Like if people are like, hey, like, how are you? You know, I want to talk about something of like something real, like substance, like, it's not how are you, it's like how you live in. Like, you know, I don't want to ask people questions if I don't mean them, if I don't want to know the answer. So like that kind of drives me crazy, the small talk. I'd rather have like good talk. And another one is like clapping. It's like really loud clapping. It drives me crazy.
Oh, I got a loud clap on me. I'm just going to go up and stand it lower and just start clapping loudly.
Oh my gosh. I hate being patted.
Where?
If someone pats me on the back like this.
What about the head?
The head, ooh, I don't like noogies either. Oh, that drives me crazy. Yeah, you just have to ask like my ex-boyfriend drives me crazy. He'll tell you. He's got a whole list.
Is that Austin?
No. Austin didn't have the honor of dating me.
He's your most famous boyfriend that you've had.
Most famous? Actually, my new husband is Diplo. I'm just kidding.
Oh, would you marry Diplo if you could?
Would I marry him?
Yeah, if Diplo came knocking right now and said, Malia, I know we know each other a little bit, but marry me today. Would you say, sweet?
Yeah, I'd be like, where's the wedding?
Vegas, of course.
Oh, my
God. We're driving straight to Vegas and getting married. Are you in or out? Are you going to pause? Is your analytical brain going to get in the way of true love with Diplo?
Wes, don't hold me to this, but I might marry you if, you know, given the opportunity.
Imagine his publicist hears this and goes, Diplo, Wesley.
Lee wants to marry. I like to call him Wesley.
He's pretty handsome, huh?
Yeah, he's a really cool, creative human. I feel like he pushes me as well. I don't know. I'm just like really inspired by him and what he does. And it's crazy. Like, I feel like our brains are connected in a way, or maybe it's our soul. I don't know. But I will have like the same idea to have, there's like this song playing and then I thought, oh, it would be really cool with the drop of this other like EDM song. And then I looked on his story and it was literally, he did the drop and I'd never seen him do that before. And it was literally, I had the same thought that he did. I feel like our brains are like wired together in some way, whether it's like a creative way, it doesn't have to be like lovey-dovey, but I think he's definitely a cool human to know and to, you know, experience life with.
Okay, so here we go. Last question, Malia, now that we're into the love zone. You grew up two epic parents, right? Like two fully interesting, unique parents. when you're a parent, how are you going to be to your children? What are the lessons you're going to really want to instill in them? Like, this is the way to live life.
What a question. Well, to start, I'm going to love them. Just give them so much love. As much as I love my cat that's sitting right next to me, I'm going to love them. And just, that, I feel like that's the most important thing, is to just like love them in every way I can, like, and just be, this is like such a hard question. I was not ready for this, but I think instilling really good values. I'm going to be strict. I don't know if I'm going to, it's hard to decide. I want them to go to school, like a normal school, but at the same time, I just don't want them to become like spoiled brats. And even if they do, I hope that they realize they're being a spoiled brat and want to change. Or like, if things are handed to kids too easily, they don't really appreciate them. And I feel like I had a good balance, because my mom would like, she would, you know, give me the world and more. And then my dad would be like, I'd be giving him some of my world. Like, I felt like I was raising my parents in different settings. And I feel like it helped me grow as a person by being able to like parent them. So I don't know. I just want to have a close relationship with my kids and keep like the conversation open for anything. I want them to be able to talk to me about anything and share ideas. That's like the biggest thing, is like making sure that creativity and imagination is definitely like a good thing. Because I feel like a lot of parents won't take the time to like watch their kids, I don't know, a video that they made, or like there's certain times where you just got to be in the moment. I think being in the moment with your kids is going to be the most important thing for me. And I've been working on being in the moment with myself and like my family, and I just feel so much happier with doing that, like not thinking about the past, not thinking about the future. Like, all we have is the present moment. So teaching the present moment to my kids is definitely going to be like one of the first things. And I think it's going to help them, because I feel like a lot of kids, especially in my generation now, they're like really unhappy, and people are lost. They don't know what to do, where to go, you know, what's my passion. You know, I got lucky. I found surfing super young. So I'm pretty stoked. Like, I could die tomorrow and just feel so fulfilled with everything that I've been able to do with my life and experience.
A bit of a bummer to die tomorrow, though, huh?
What?
A bit of a bummer to die tomorrow.
Yeah, but this—I bet this podcast would go viral.
True.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Can you die if tomorrow?
Should I fake my own death?
Have a real bad. Yeah.
Oh no! Knock on some wood.
Hey, thanks, Malia. That's amazing.
We'll be okay.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much, Malia.
Thank you guys for having me. This is a really good talk, and yeah, let's all go surf soon.
Yeah,
Chad, I want you to burn me. I want you to burn me to say I only burned one person in my life, and it was Malia, because she told me to.
Won't do it. If I do, you better push me off and make me viral like Gabriel Medina.
Okay, I'm going to tell you to go on a wave, and then I'm just going to take off behind you when you're not looking.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Malia.
That's good. Thanks, okay, Malia. Keep up the good work, guys. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.